Last week, if you were here, you'll remember that we started in a field somewhere in Devon. And it was Ben was talking about his childhood and a field with an electric fence all the way around it. Today, we're not in a field, we're in the wilderness. We're in the wilderness of Sinai, which is part of Egypt. It's the bit that the Israelites were doomed to wander around for 40 years once Moses had led them out of slavery, out of Egypt, the land where they had been oppressed, where they were slaves, and he led them. And if you look on a map, there's the body of Egypt, and then there's the Nile, and then there's this bit that sticks down, and then it goes on into the rest of Israel and the Middle East. It's not a very good description, but you have to look it up on a map if you want to know, because that helps. This is real. This is rooted in a real place. Moses and is leading his people. They're in the wilderness, and they are given the most significant job of all their time in the wilderness, really, which is to build the tabernacle. I just want to take you back, before we look at it, to Exodus 12, because, in fact, it was Alexis who reminded me of this yesterday, which was really useful. Exodus 12 and verse 35. Now, they've been waiting for Pharaoh to say that they can leave, and all these different plagues have been sent, and eventually Pharaoh is giving his permission. But this is what happens. The Israelites did as Moses instructed, because Moses said, get all your stuff together, ready to go. And they asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. And the Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, that is the Israelites, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. And then we read of how they brought silver and gold and bronze. They brought clothing when it was needed for the sanctuary. And that, a lot of that would have been the stuff that they had taken from the Egyptians, from Egypt. And I suppose in a way I just want to say, nothing is wasted. From our old lives, before we become Christians, how glorious that is that God used that stuff, symbols of their slavery, in order to make the beauty of his sanctuary, where he was going to reside. And yet they used that stuff from Egypt, as well as their own, I would imagine. We're going to come to that in a minute, but I just feel that's a really important word maybe for some of you, for some of us, that actually things that happened before we became Christians that we may not be proud of, that may have been very dark times, God in his grace and his goodness can use to bring glory to him. Do you believe that? Because it's hard to believe it sometimes, especially as new Christians, it's hard to believe, but it's true. What I also want to point out to you is in Exodus 33, Moses, before the tabernacle had been built, and this, I must confess, was new to me, so that's why I'm saying it to you. Moses had a tent of his own that he would take outside the camp, pitch, and that was the tent of meeting. So this was before the beautiful tabernacle. And do you remember we had some slides up a while back of the temple, the inner court and the outer court? This is when they were in the wilderness. It had to be a temple that could be erected and then taken down when they moved on. But even before that was built, Moses had his own private tent of meeting. And it says in Exodus 33 that when he went outside the camp with his own tent to pitch it, all the Israelites would stand at the entrances to their tents and watch him go, because they knew he was going to meet with God there. And he called it the tent of meeting. And when I say it was his own private tent, that's not quite right, because actually he said anybody who wants to come and meet with God can come to this tent. So that was even before the tabernacle. Moses as leader, and hopefully us as Christians, know that we need a place of meeting with God. And I know that we've said it so many times, but we still need to be reminded. If someone came up to you and said, where's your place of meeting with God? Where do you find that you meet with him? That you can talk with him? That you can study his word? that you can hear his words of love for you, that you can hear his guidance, that you can say sorry to him. Where is that place of meeting for you? Would you be able to say, actually, this is where it is? We've referred to it maybe as a special chair that you have. But a place of meeting doesn't even have to be in your house, in your garden. It can be somewhere else. But somewhere where you go to meet with him. Because it's so important that we do that. So this series then, What's in Your Hand? About recognizing what God has given us in lots of different ways and means. So not only, and obviously particularly thinking about skills and talents this morning, not only those, last week, if you remember, it was the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years who touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus, and so available to her was Jesus' power and his love and his tenderness and relationship with him as he called her daughter and healing. And that was available. And Ben spoke last week about it. If you didn't hear, then listen on the website. It's great, really good and helpful. But today we're thinking about those things that God has given us already. And we're not just going to be talking about artistic talent, although that's obviously going to come into it. The first thing I suppose I want to point out from the passage, what we started with and why we started at the end of start at the end of a paragraph in my Bible. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord had commanded through Moses. All the people, but of free will. There is no compulsion. There was no compulsion there, and there is no compulsion with us as a fellowship. And beware of any fellowships that make you feel compelled to do things. Because God wants our offerings of service and of love and of generosity to be free will, just as they were here. That people weren't compelled, that it was free will. So our first, maybe your first question or your second after the place of meeting is, are you willing to be used by him? Are you willing to be used by him, to serve him, but to be used? And then what we're going to come on to next, I feel, is really exciting. You see, we're not going to be used to build the church. We fortunately already have a church building, and we value it and we honor God when we look after it. But actually, we have a job to do, just as the Israelites had to do. And listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. I haven't warned Liz, so it's not going to come up. But if you've got your own Bibles, do feel free to find it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Paul says, in him, Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Not only are we to be stones brought together, living stones, to be made into this metaphorical temple, and place where God lives, but also we are to be the builders as well. And many of you know this, but it's good to be reminded that you, each one of you, is precious and belongs here in this fellowship and belongs in this temple that is God's new temple. That's not the old tabernacle any longer. That we are his temple. We are the building joined together in Christ. And if each one of us belongs here, then each one of us has our own unique job to do here. Each of us has contribution to make that will enhance this building that we are building here and that will help draw others in to this building. His church, which comprises precious individual souls, one for him, and we all have a part to play. And what I would like to say is this. When we read of the beauty of those things that Bezalel and Aholiab and their team created, it's so easy to see not only their beauty, but to see how God must have felt about those things. That they had been obedient to his call, that they'd used what had been given to them individually, but also corporately, and they had produced something beautiful. In the same way, when we use what God has given us to serve him, we do something beautiful, and he is pleased. And that's not just in church activities, but let's start there. So when you, if you come into, say, the coffee morning, or if you come into any meeting, even this and what's happening up here, when you see acts of love in his name, welcome in his name, caring in his name, that is something beautiful for God, just as the tabernacle was beautiful. And of course, we goof and we mess up sometimes, but basically God is pleased with what we do when we seek to serve him in his name. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I just want to read, because we think, well, what does this actually look like? This building a temple, building God's temple, my part in it. Well, listen to what Mother Teresa said. She had a specific calling from God, and we know that she was called to Calcutta and to work with people who had nothing. But this is what she said. I do not agree with the big way of doing things. To us, what matters is an individual. To get to love the person, we must come in close contact with him. If we wait till we get the numbers, then we will be lost in the numbers. And we'll never be able to show that love and respect for the person. I believe in person to person. Every person is Christ for me. And since there is only one Jesus, that person is the only person in the world for me at that moment. It's great, isn't it? It's just so humbling, but it's also really encouraging. It is just about loving the individual, caring about the individual, and not necessarily worrying about numbers. And of course, there are ministries where huge numbers are involved, but day to day in our ministry, actually it is about individuals and caring for them. So, to get back to the passage with Bezalel, Oholiab, and their team, I really want to encourage, because I know that there are a lot of people in this church who are amazingly artistic and gifted and talented. And I think I really want to encourage you this morning with this passage. But what it says, there are two things that I think particularly are important for us to learn from it. Firstly, is that over and over it is repeated that it is God's gift. This ability to be an artistic designer, to do craft, to make things with silver or gold, it was God's gift to them in the first place. God had given them that ability, and over again it's mentioned that he had given them that skill. And maybe in the wilderness, coming out of slavery, it was easier for them to see what skills they had, because there was very little around, and to recognize that it was from God. But the first thing, I want to say this morning is, do you really recognize what God has given you as an individual? You see, I think it's possible for us to be spiritual teenagers. And what I mean by that, we read about babes in Christ who take the milk and will take everything and just lap it all up, and it's just wonderful and exciting and it's simple. And we also read about people who are mature in Christ, who really know who they are, who are rooted deeply in him, who have a peace and a contentment and a joy that is just glorious. But for many of us, we are stuck as spiritual teenagers. And what I mean by that is, we are very busy that we forget to talk and communicate with our dad. And lots of teenagers, lots of parents will say, they don't want to talk to me. They just zoom up to their bedroom. They don't want to talk. And as spiritual teenagers, we can be guilty of the same thing. We're busy doing great stuff for God, but we actually don't spend much time really with our Heavenly Father. It goes back to the meeting place, doesn't it? But the other thing about teenagers is they're seeking to know who they are. And they don't really know who they are. And they're trying to find out what they should be like and who they are. And trying to be the same as other people and not happy in their own skins. And it grieves me that children or young adults come out of university with no idea of what they want to do. And partly it's because they've got no idea of who they are and what they're good at and what actually God has given them in their personality. What makes you tick? What makes your heart sing? And they don't know because they haven't been asked properly. They haven't been shown. They haven't given themselves time to think about it. But for us too, it can be that we don't know ourselves. And when God's Spirit comes, he is the Spirit of truth who leads us into truth about not only God, but also about ourselves. And so it's important that we actually grow up and recognize what God has actually given me in my hands. And I'll get specific in a minute. The trouble with being specific is that I'll miss out lots and lots of talents and skills. But we'll come to one or two of them in a minute. So let's not have false modesty of I have nothing. That's an orphaned spirit. In some ways we don't have anything, of course. It's all up to God. But actually he has given each of us talents that are unique to us and skills. But the second thing, so the first thing is recognizing what we have from God. But the second thing is, of course, in a way, the most important thing in this passage and why we remember it is because these craftsmen were filled with the Spirit of God. So we can be as skilled and as clever and all the rest of it as we like, but we need God's Spirit to take what he has already given us and use it for his glory. And it may be surprising that these craftsmen were described as filled with the Spirit. Not many people in the Old Testament are described like that. It's the prophets and David, maybe one or two others, but not many. And here these craftsmen who were to make these beautiful things for God's tabernacle where his presence would rest, they are described as filled with the Spirit of God. And so, of course, it shouldn't actually be a surprise because at the beginning of Genesis, what do we find out about God? We find that he is the fellowship of of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the most importantly after that is we find he is Creator God. So as we are made in his image, of course we are made to be creative. So be encouraged, those of you who have amazing skills in craft and in making things, because when we ask God's Holy Spirit, and we're going to do that at the end, to ask God's Holy Spirit to take that gift and show us how we can use it for his glory. To build his kingdom, to build his tabernacle, to do something beautiful for him, then he will. He will. So, I want to say, are you creative? How are you creative? Are you creative in making things? Whether it be out of food, or whether it be out of plants and you make beautiful gardens, or whether it be out of all of the things that we mentioned in here, gold and silver and metal workers and all sorts of, and those of you who are good at craft and those of you who are good at needlework, etc., etc., how glorious those gifts are. And they are skills that God has given you. Those who paint, those who take photographs, all sorts of wonderful things. Those who enjoy making things and mending things. Wonderful skills and talents. And if you feel, actually, I'm not that great at any of those, then maybe it's less tangible stuff. You may be good with words. You may be good at speaking words of encouragement. You may be good at explaining spiritual truth. You may be good at writing. You may be good at drama, expressing spiritual truth through your body and through language and through laughter, maybe. You may be good at making people laugh. And there is also creativity in relationships, in building relationships. You may be someone who's good at noticing when someone's left out. You may be the person who afterwards, during coffee, notices the people who don't seem to have anyone to talk to. And you may be the person who goes up to them and says, "Hello, I'm so-and-so, how are you doing?" You may be the person who's good at listening. You may be the person who's good at creating emotional space for people. so that they can come and they can talk and they'll know they won't be judged by you. That is all creative. It is all creativity. And God can take it and use it. And finally, there may be things that you think, I don't think God can use this. It can be a hobby, for example. It can be a hobby. And so I suppose I want to finish, before we actually pray, I want to finish with this. He was mentioned a few weeks ago. You know the runner, Eric Liddell, or Liddell rather, the Scottish one that Chariots of Fire is all about, which I know dates some of us, but there we are. And I was reminded of those words that he said to his sister. Now, he says them in the film, when his sister is reminding him that he's got a calling from God to be a missionary to China. And he says, yes, but God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. Who would have thought that a fast runner could bring many people to Christ? And I'm not just talking about his mission trip. I'm talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit was so in that man that he would not run on a Sunday, and he stood up for God. But who would have thought that just being able to run fast, I say just, I never have, that could be used by God. Do you see what I mean? That nothing is wasted. That the things that he gives us, the passions he gives us, when we give them back to him and say, take them, Lord, and use them. Use them to build something beautiful for you. Help me with individuals to love. But you take this and use it, Lord. We say everything I am. Sometimes it's helpful to get specific and recognize, because then we can be more intentional. And so that man, who actually, in a way, the irony, of course, is that he won people to Christ by not running rather than running. But actually that man, what a great example. Someone whose talent was used by God, even though, humanly speaking, we wouldn't have thought that being able to run fast could actually be used by God, but it can. So, where does this leave us? It means that all of us have a part to play in building God's temple. That each of us needs a place of meeting ourselves with him, because that's where the truth and the relationship is built, so that we can then serve him in his name and for his glory, not for our own. And then for us to recognize what we have been given, to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to take it and to use it for his glory. And then finally, what most of us are not very good at, Eric Liddell says, I feel his pleasure. And actually that's what chokes me up, really. How many times do we stop and feel God's pleasure at what we have been doing? It's not about getting smug. It's not about getting big-headed at all. It's just about receiving the Father's pleasure and delight in who we are and what we're doing for him. So, if you're with me, folks, I think this is going to be a free will offering, not of money, but of ourselves and our skills and our talents. So we're not going to stand up, because I don't want anyone to feel compelled to stand up if they don't want to join in. But what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to pray. And as I have been speaking, maybe individual things have come to you that you know that you're good at. And it may not be tangible stuff about making stuff, but it may be about relationships. It may be about words. It may be a hobby that you've got that you've never thought God could use to build his temple, to win people, precious people for him. So in a moment, we're going to do those three things. We're going to offer him what he's given us in the first place. We're going to ask his Holy Spirit to come, which we've already done often in this service. And then finally, we're going to thank him in faith that he is pleased with us when we do things for him in his name. Not just in the church environment, in our work as well. We're not separating secular and sacred. It's all for him. Is that okay? So as we pray, if you want to join with this, then if you just hold your hands out open, which Jerry's already done, but let's just open our hands open as a sign of wanting to serve him, to be used to build his temple. So Lord, we thank you that each of us is unique and precious in your sight. Thank you that you have given each of us unique skills and talents and personalities, and that you can use everything. And so, Lord, we offer back to you what you've given us. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and you will lead us and you will fill us and you will show us what you want us to do for you. And Lord, finally, we pray that you will give us a revelation of your pleasure in us, that you are pleased with us, that you delight in us. Thank you. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. Amen.